This morning in Sunday school, we were looking at verses from the book of Proverbs that give guidance to our young people, talking about how old they perhaps would be when we talk to them about this matter or about that matter. And the ages that I have put down, and by the way, there is a handout sheet on the hall table. You don't have to write down scriptures and all. That's all done for you. So grab a copy on your way out. Several wonderful things we looked at during Sunday school. And if you missed Sunday school, shame on you. Okay, so I won't be invited back, but it is what it is. Sunday school, you know, before I became a pastor, I was at Sunday school all the time. I wanted to learn the Word of God. It was important. And Father, bless your word now as we look at it, because it is still important and will forever be important. Thy word, Lord, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Bless the time we have now in Jesus' name. Amen. By the time a child gets to be 10 years old, hopefully they have developed good work habits. I know when I was 3 or 4 years old, I was given a job of emptying waste baskets into the trash barrel. Each Tuesday, trash pickup was Wednesday. So each Tuesday I was to do that. And that was good training. It certainly was something within my ability to do as a 4-year-old. But it was great training. And the Book of Proverbs has much to say about work. If you would turn in your Book of Proverbs, please, to chapter 13. And verse number 4. The soul of the sluggard, that is, the lazy person, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. Why would he have nothing? If he wants something, why wouldn't he have it? He's lazy. He's not going to work for it. And we need to learn that if we don't work, we don't get. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. He will have what he wants, because he's willing to work for it. Take a look at chapter 14 and verse 23. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury or poverty. You don't get paid for talking. Some people have a hard time remembering that. They are talking, talking, until the boss comes. Then they zip the lip. If the boss pops in unexpectedly, oh my. Okay, teach your children the importance of work and the satisfaction that comes with a job well done and completed. Chapter 13 and verse 19. 13 verse 19. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. The first part of the verse, the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. When you have a task and you complete it, there is a satisfaction that goes with that, isn't there? Some of you may not know, because some of you don't complete tasks. You start off, but somewhere along the line, you drop out. There is a satisfaction in a task completed and a task well done. May you experience that. Now, your 11-year-old, what can we teach the 11-year-old? Well, turn to chapter 18 of Proverbs. We can teach the 11-year-old about judging matters. Before judging a matter, we need to hear both sides of the issue. Isn't that right? If we hear just one side, well, most anyone can make their side of a situation look good and sound reasonable. You know, what a lazy, good-for-nothing he is. So, what a gadabout she is. Whatever the situation might be. In chapter 18, verse 13, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. To be ready to answer a matter before you've heard it. That is, you've heard one side of it. Drop down to verse 17. Chapter 18, verse 17. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just. That is, the one who gets to you first and tells his or her side of the story. Seemeth just. We can always make our side seem right. But his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. That is, the neighbor cometh, and then you hear the other side of the story. And the other side of the story may shed a whole different light on the matter. We need to hear both sides of the story. And you know, I find that this is, we ought to teach our 11-year-olds this truth, but so often we fall prey to the same situation, do we not? We hear one side of a matter, and we've made up our minds without hearing the other side. I think that's sort of human nature. But here, we're told, no, you don't have to make any judgment on a matter until you've heard both sides. Okay, another thing to teach your 11-year-old. Perceive when trouble is brewing and go elsewhere. A very important lesson. When trouble is brewing, turn, if you will, to chapter 22, verse 3. School kids coming home from school may see an argument that may turn into a fight. Now, your son, your daughter may not want to be involved in it, but nevertheless, it might be fun to stick around and see what happens. Let's see what chapter 22, verse 3 says. A prudent man foreseeth the evil. In other words, he can see there's trouble in the making. And hangs around to see what will happen. Is that what your Bible says? I'm glad. I was reading from a perverted version. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. In other words, gets out of there. You can find out what happened tomorrow. But the simple pass on and are punished. Another very important lesson to teach an 11-year-olds, it's a good time to teach them. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 22. Now, by the time your kid is 11, he is in middle school, that is grade 5 maybe. Or 6. He needs to learn that sin can enslave you. Did you know that? Sin can enslave you. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 22. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden, held, with the cords of his sins. He shall be held with the cords of his sins. His sins will enslave him. We call that an addiction. Do you suppose the person who started out on drugs had in mind being enslaved by that drug? Probably not. I just want to see what it's like. But drugs can quickly enslave. You become addicted to it. You need it. Same thing with alcohol. I don't know what the current figures are. I know at one time it used to be one out of every 10 people who drink become alcoholics. Well, I don't think anyone who drinks with the idea, I want to be an alcoholic. No, I don't think so. But sin enslaves. Matter of fact, the first drink a young person has, a lot of times they vomit it up, which should be a signal to them, it doesn't belong in you. But the body can adjust. You keep on drinking, the body adjusts, but maybe you will end up an alcoholic. It's like playing Russian roulette. Not a very good idea. Sin enslaves. Don't get caught up with sin. Another very popular sin today, always has been popular, except today it's many more ways of pursuing it, and that is abusing sex. Young people like to find out all they can about sex and so on. And today, with the computer, virtually anything you want to know is available to you. And with pornography, it's available to you in picture form. Be careful, be careful, be careful. You can become addicted to that. And that will lead you into all kinds of wrong behaviors. Yes, it's out there. Yes, you can get it on your computer. Christian young person, don't do it. Don't bring it up on your computer. And adults, sometimes married couples, fall prey to this same thing. Don't do it. Don't do it. It will fill your mind, your heart, with things that you shouldn't be having in your heart. And speaking of that, turn to chapter 4 and verse 23. Teach your young person, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Don't fill your heart with trash. Because you won't be able to get rid of it. Before I was saved, I had filled my mind with some trash. And although I haven't revisited that trash, or try not to, it is still there. It's very easy to hang on to remember those things, because we have a sinful nature. Now, since I have become a Christian, I have tried to be much more careful. I remember heading home one day, got to my next door neighbor's house. He engaged me in conversation. And then along the way he said, "You want to hear a good story?" Well, I knew what a good story meant to this neighbor. Something off color. And I said, "Thanks, but no thanks." I didn't want to fill my mind with more garbage. Young people, I hope you're taking note. But you know, just because we may be in our 40s, 50s, 60s, we still can fill our mind with garbage, and it's still not good. Steer clear of that sort of thing. So much more. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 15. I had a hard time figuring out how old to talk to your young person about this. I finally settled on age 14. But I got thinking, even age 8 might be fine. What is the matter under discussion? Avoiding fights. Look at chapter 15, verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. A soft answer turneth away wrath. What's a soft answer? Well, suppose a bully comes along and says to you, "Hey kid, get out of my way." You can reply with a soft answer or with grievous words. A soft answer might be no answer at all, just move over. Or if you must answer, something like, "Sorry, didn't know I was in the way." Grievous words. "You're going to make me?" That's likely to end in a fight, isn't it? Avoid fights when possible. Okay. We spoke of alcohol earlier. Warn your young person against alcohol. Chapter 20. And verse 1, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Don't be deceived by strong drink. The best way to avoid even the possibility of being an alcoholic is not to take the first drink. I have not drunk alcoholic beverages. Never have. Don't want to. I don't like the concept of playing Russian roulette. It's only 1 out of 10. You got a 9 out of 10 chance of being fine. I don't want to take the chance. Furthermore, I've seen people who aren't alcoholics but are under the influence. I don't like what I have seen. Okay. Now, we're going to look at the matter of sex from a different perspective. You might have this talk with your 17-year-old. By the time we're 17, often we seek a sexual partner. Well, if you turn to Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 20 and 21, And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. There are prostitutes out there. Another common practice these days is to exchange sex for drugs. This is particularly done with young ladies. The guy will give her drugs if she gives him sex. No, no, no. God has given certain rules of life regarding sex. And stating the rule succinctly, it is abstinence before marriage. Abstain from sex before marriage. And faithfulness in marriage. Abstinence before marriage. Faithfulness in marriage. That is God's law regarding sex. It's an important law to keep. It will make for a happier marriage. Well, there are other matters that we can deal with. I was just checking my time, and I find that we have enough time. Maybe I'll just go one more hour. The 18-year-old needs to trust God to direct his life and not to be ashamed of God. Trust God, don't be ashamed of him. This reading came up in our responsive reading this morning, but turn to Proverbs chapter 3. And verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. God will direct your paths. He'll direct your life when you are trusting him with all your heart and acknowledging him, not ashamed of the Lord Jesus. This is a wonderful promise for a young person. My grandchildren this past Wednesday, headed out for college. My granddaughter and grandson, twins. My granddaughter has a good idea of what she would like to do. My grandson hasn't the foggiest idea. And this is not all that unusual. And there may be 18-year-olds in the congregation this morning, young men, who have no real idea of what they would like to do. Look to God to guide you. Look to God to guide you. Trust Him. And he'll direct your path. What are you good in? And what do you enjoy? Often the answer to that may help give a clue as to the sort of work you might seek to prepare yourself for. Someone says, well, in school I always enjoyed recess. I was pretty good at it. Not quite what I had in mind. Now, I also mentioned sex a moment ago. When the young man is 18, he may begin more seriously looking for a life partner. And there is counsel here from the Word of God. Turn, please, to Proverbs chapter 19. Verses 13 and 14. Let your wife satisfy you. So chapter 19, verse 13 says, a foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. What's that mean? The contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. I don't know why, but a lot of times you women have a hard job letting go of a matter. Perhaps that's because your husband never gets around to it. I've heard women being counseled, don't nag your husbands. You don't have to remind him every half year to do that. He'll get around to it. But a continual dropping, it's hard to let a thing go. And the continual dropping, ever had a leaky faucet? That's a continual dropping, isn't it? Ladies, don't you be the drip. Don't be the continual dropping. Verse 14, house and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. A prudent wife is from the Lord. Young men, seek a prudent wife, one who knows how to act, one who is sensible, one with whom you can discuss matters. You know, a good wife is valuable in many ways, one of which is the fact that she can have some very good counsel. You may be considering a job change. Well, if you're married, talk to your wife about it. You may be looking at it from one perspective. She may look at it from a different perspective. A lot of times men look at it from the head, women look at it from the heart. It's the way women are constructed. The wife says to her husband, "Dear, can't we talk about things just once without being reasonable about it?" But the wife's input is very important. And a prudent wife is from the Lord. Guys, don't get carried away with looks. Oftentimes, a young lady who is a very good looking young lady has trusted in her looks to get her accepted and popular, and has not paid that much attention to the inner person. Pay more attention to the inside. God does. God pays a whole lot more attention to the inside than the outside. Her character. Where is she spiritually? And by the way, if you're a Christian, it's a very good idea not to even date a young person who is not a Christian. If you date her, it's because there is some attraction. And if there is some attraction, the more time you spend with her, the more likely that attraction will grow. And there's been many a young person when confronted with the fact that you're a believer, she's not a believer, I won't marry the two of you. There's many a person who has said, I don't care. I'm going to marry her anyway. Don't let yourself get in that condition. The best way, don't date an unsaved person. Okay, we need to be aware of the ways of the world, for we are living in it. Now, we're not to practice the ways of the world, but we do need to be aware of it. For example, Proverbs chapter 27. And verse 20. Hell and destruction are never full. So the eyes of man are never satisfied. Something we need to learn about the world. The eyes of man are never satisfied. This is the whole basis of commercials, isn't it? All those commercials you see on TV, they are trying to get you to desire their product. We get and we get and we get. I have come to the ripe old age where I am realizing I'm not going to be around here forever. And I don't want my children to have to say, what do I do with this? What do I do with that? What do I, when they're breaking up the house? So, I have been trying to get rid of a lot of things. It's amazing how much stuff you can get over the years. And so much of it is just stuff. So remember, the eyes of man are never satisfied. We always want more. Think of it right now. What would you like that you don't have right now? And I suspect almost every one of you can think of something. I mean, besides dinner. Okay, Proverbs chapter 22. And verse 7. Talk to your 18-year-old about this. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Talk to your young people about credit cards and about all the other gimmicks that are out there to try to make you spend. Credit cards are a wonderful thing. A young person gets his first credit card. Maybe I can spend up to $5,000. Wow! Am I gonna have fun? And the fun continues until he reaches max and realizes that he has to pay this with interest. And that interest can be very high. I've heard of some credit cards that have you pay up between 18 and 22%. Ridiculous. Look, if you get a credit card, first of all, just get one. Secondly, don't buy a thing till you can pay for it. If you need to get it using a credit card, put that money for that item aside so that when the card comes due, you have the money. Yeah, but if I do that, I'll have to wait. I may have to wait half a year before I can afford this. Okay, if you want it bad enough, wait and work that half year so you can get it. You mean I can't have what I want right away? Welcome to life. Okay. Verse 19, at age 19, hope extends life. Where there is God, there is hope. Hope extends life. Hope is a wonderful, wonderful thing to have. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 12. Proverbs 13, verse 12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, when the hope is realized, it is a tree of life. Hope is a wonderful thing. You can work toward the day. We've been talking about marriage a bit. Some of you young people may hope to be married within the next year or two. Hope is a wonderful thing. That hope will encourage you to prepare for marriage. Hope gives you a reason for getting out of bed in the morning. I don't know if any of you suffer from depression. If you do, there may be mornings when you just don't want to get up. Hope gives you a reason for getting up. I hope to do this today, to do that today. Now, two more verses, and we're going to close it down. One verse, you might talk to your 20-year-old about, but this is another one where you could talk to your 10-year-old about. Don't wear out your welcome. Don't wear out your welcome. Some ladies, after the husband goes to work, they've got to go over and visit their next-door neighbor. Were they invited over? No, but we always do this. Is she glad that you're doing it? Never asked her. Don't wear out your welcome. Turn to Proverbs chapter 25. And verse 17. Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee, and so hate thee. It's nice to pay a visit, but don't stay all the time. My father-in-law, and my brother's father-in-law, had a very nice way, you know, when people come to visit for the evening and they don't have sense enough to go home at a reasonable time. My father-in-law, my brother's father-in-law, would say to his wife, "Dear, let us go to bed so these nice people can go home." Don't outwear your welcome. And the last verse, chapter 14, verse 34. Your young person is a citizen. They're of voting age. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Sin, a reproach to any people. Laws permitting abortion. Homosexuality and same-sex marriages, they are an abomination to this nation, a black eye to this nation. They are sin. Plain and simple. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Father, I have sought to share from your word. Godly counsel. And I pray that these matters may be talked over, not just read, but talked over with the young person. To share. And may you be pleased to use this for the strengthening of Christians and the welfare of our young. In Jesus' name, amen.